The First Testament lesson is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verses 1 to 12, and can be found in your pew Bibles on page 2. Please listen for the word of the Lord. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say, 'You shall not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and that they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of evening breeze. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit from the tree, and I ate." The word of the Lord.
Our New Testament text can be found on page 197 of the New Testament. It's out of Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. We are looking at verses 1 through 11. Now, if this looks familiar, it should, because it was Reverend Bethany's New Testament text from last week. And when I was working on this week's sermon, I decided to steal it from her and use it again. So, let us listen to this text with new ears. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited or held on to tightly, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. The word of the Lord. As I was sort of going through and preparing for the sermon this week, I sat down with one of my news feeds. It's something called Flipboard, if you all don't know, and it brings news feeds in from a wide variety of sources. And I just chose, almost at random, three incidents from this past week. Now, some of these are a bit disturbing, so it comes with a disclaimer. So just know there's this disclaimer. And so here they are. A survey was done this week of retail workers on why they're not coming back to their jobs. I don't know how many of you have noticed that almost every place you go seems short-staffed. People can't find servers, cooks, dishwashers, people in retail stores, Starbucks. They all have help wanted. So why aren't they coming back? Well, what this survey showed was that 50%, exactly one half of all of these servers, had either been verbally or physically assaulted over the last year. I want you to think about that. Every other server has been verbally or physically assaulted over this last year. No wonder they may rethink whether they want to come back to work in retail. Second one was from the local news, and this was a physician in the area who was writing fake prescriptions for opioids, paying people to fill them, and then he was getting the pills and reselling them on the black market. And he sold hundreds of thousands of highly addictive opioid pills. He set them out on the street so that people who were addicted would be more addicted, people who weren't would get addicted, and perhaps if they mixed them with fentanyl, perhaps even die. Okay, number three, and this is really the most disturbing. There was a man named Gordon Beasley. He was a resource officer, meaning a school police officer, in Arvada, Colorado. And this past week, he was asked to fill in a shift for the local police department, and he said sure, he'd be happy to do it. There was a call that there was some sort of suspicious activity at a location, and so he and multiple other officers immediately went to that location. As he stepped out of his car, he was gunned down. The other officers had the windshields of their cars blown out. And it was all by a young man, 29 years old, who had gotten up that morning, and from reading his Facebook posts and other things, the police realized that he had decided that he was going to kill a police officer because he thought every police officer deserved death. Now, listening to those three, and you could choose, I could have chosen dozens of others. Do you all agree that there's something broken in the world? That we live in a world in which society seems broken, people seem broken. It's just this deep and profound brokenness. And when we see these things, the first question is always why? Why did these things happen? Why is our world so broken? Now I realize, depending on which news sources you get your news from, you know who to blame. Just take that and run with it. But what the church has always done is that we've known who's to blame, right? We know who's to blame. That woman. We go back to this story of Adam and Eve, and we know who is to blame. As Adam said, it is that woman, God, that you gave me. Yeah, so it's not just the woman's fault, it's God's fault because God gave the woman. And so the church, we've run with that. We call this the fall. That Eve is there in the garden and she eats the fruit and suddenly everything's broken. That nothing was broken before that and it's all her fault. Well, I want us to rethink this whole story this morning. Okay? I want us to take a second look at it. First, because the idea of the fall, right? How many of you have heard, right? It's the fall of humankind. All right. Judaism never uses that language. Judaism never refers to this as the fall. This is a Christian invention because it fits our narrative. Okay? Instead, Judaism wants to let this story live as a way of looking at all human beings, that somehow this is our story. It's not just Adam and Eve's story, it's our story. So that's the first reason. Second reason is, folks, Eve was not by herself in this story. If we read the story, Adam is sitting right there beside her, listening to the talking snake, and for the first time in history doesn't try to mansplain to her why this is not a good idea to eat the fruit. Okay? You know, Adam, you probably should have done it, but you didn't, and he just went right along with it. But finally, I want us to take a look at this story again, because if we let it really speak to us, what we hear is that there were some pre-existing conditions in Adam and Eve that made them vulnerable to the talking snake's offer. Let me say that again. There were pre-existing conditions within these first two human beings that made them vulnerable to this proposal from the talking snake. And these pre-existing conditions didn't go away, they're still with us. And these pre-existing conditions were pre-existing before she took the fruit and he took the fruit. And I think it's critical for us to understand these pre-existing conditions, because they're things that we have to deal with. Okay, so we'll go back, and you can find all three pre-existing conditions that we're going to talk about this morning in verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, delight to the eyes, and desire to make one wise. Okay, we're going to talk about those three things. But first, the first pre-existing condition, dissatisfaction. All right, how many of you have ever been to a grocery store? How many of you have ever been on the cereal aisle in a grocery store? Okay, you're standing in the cereal aisle, and there are probably 120,000 different kinds of cereal. And especially during the pandemic, how many of you have gone in and you're looking for that one cereal? That one cereal that's your favorite, and you're going up and down the rows, and you're looking for it, and you go, I know this is where it is. And there is that little sticker that says, we are so sorry. All of these cereals are on back order. Our response? It's not, oh, well. Our response is, we're suddenly dissatisfied. Where is my cereal? Okay? And suddenly we get grumpy. Maybe you don't. I do. You know, that's the one thing I came into the store looking for, and it's not here. Dissatisfaction. That's the first pre-existing condition. And I say that because in this verse 6, it says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Now, notice, the scripture is very clear. It's not that it tasted good. It's not that she's just looking for something that tastes good, looks nice. No, it's good for food, as if she is starving to death, as if he, Adam, is starving to death. Because where are they? They are in Eden. You know, we have to let this story speak to us. They are in Eden, and Eden is filled with everything they could possibly want. Any food they could want, it's all there. It's all in stock. There's nothing missing. There's plenty to eat. They're not going to starve. He could have chosen anything, including fruit from the tree of life. Tree of life's in the garden too. But is that the one? Did she want any of those? Did he want any of those? No, they were dissatisfied. That was the food. That was the only food. They needed that food. And see, the problem with dissatisfaction is that it breaks us. When we are in this attitude of dissatisfaction, it breaks us. We become angry and frustrated and irritable, we become those people who abuse retail workers. See, that's what dissatisfaction does, is it breaks us, and then we take it out on somebody else, and we take it out on those people. And think about it, you're in a store and it's loaded with things, but you're angry because they don't have what you want. Or you go to a restaurant, they don't have the thing that you want, or your service isn't fast enough. You're still going to get fed. We're still going to get fed. And yet this dissatisfaction that just eats inside of us, and brokenness comes. The second pre-existing condition is desire. How many of you have ever wanted something so badly that it's all you can think about? It's all you can dream about. You can see it. You can taste it. You just want it. It's like that Red Ryder BB gun from the Christmas story, you know, that Ralphie, that was the only thing that he could just think about, even though he'd shoot his eye out with it. You know, that any of you ever been there, there's just something, maybe it's a person, a job, a piece of electronic gear, whatever it is, we have this desire, all right? Well, that's what's going on in the second one. So when the woman, and I'll say, and the man saw the tree was good for food, dissatisfaction, and that it was a delight to the eyes. Now, I often wonder at the choices translators make, okay? It was a delight to the eyes. What comes to mind? Oh, it's beautiful, it's pretty. No, no, the word in Hebrew is lust. I mean, literally, it's a literal translation is she lusted. She lusted after that fruit. That fruit, for whatever reason, had become the object of her desire. It was the object of her lust. She wanted it, and even though she knew the consequences, and in fact, she'd upped the game of the consequences, and she knew what they were. It didn't matter. That was the object of her desire, and she was going to get it, and she was going to have it. And brokenness is what came, and brokenness is what comes when we desire things, because folks, when we really desire things, we'll risk anything for it, right? We'll risk everything we own. We'll risk relationships. We will rob, cheat, lie, steal. Every war on the face of this earth has been because of desire. I want your land, your resources, your people. I want it, and I'm going to get it. It's brokenness. And I would argue that this is the heart of what that doctor was doing when he was selling those opioids. Chances are he had a decent practice and was making decent money, and yet it wasn't enough. He desired more. He desired more money, whatever that was going to buy him. And he was willing to risk people's lives, his medical license, his practice, his family, his reputation. He was willing to risk everything because of desire. And that's a pre-existing condition, and it breaks us. And the last one is what I call, I'm trying to be alliterative here, deity. Dissatisfaction, desire, deity. And this is the one. Okay, so when the woman and the man saw the tree was good for food, delight to the eyes, they lusted after it. The tree was to be desired to make one wise. Now, this is one of those questions that I've been asked probably as many as any question in my time as a pastor, especially about this passage. Why shouldn't she want to be wise? Right? I mean, wisdom within the scriptures is something we are all to long for. We are to look for it. We are to try to gain it. The book of Proverbs is all about being wise and not being a fool. Okay? Wisdom is a good thing. But, again, we need to go back to the context. Wisdom here is not that kind of wisdom. Wisdom here is linked with what the talking snake says in verse 5. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open. Right? Here's the temptation. You'll be able to see everything. And you will be like the gods. You'll be like the gods. What happens when we... Well, let me ask. How many of you have ever been in a conversation with someone? And you know you are absolutely right and they are absolutely wrong. Any of you ever been there? Okay. That's what being the gods is all about. That's what deity is all about. That's what this pre-existing condition is all about. It is about this tendency to think that we are absolutely right and everybody else is absolutely wrong. And the problem with that is that as soon as we do that, we can look down on those other people because they are not as smart as we are. They are not as worthy as we are. They don't deserve the things we deserve because we know that we are all wise and all knowing. We are the great and powerful Oz who has everything. That's the problem with deity. And it allows us to do things that are unthinkable. I would argue that that young man in Arvada, Colorado, when he got up that morning to decide he was going to kill himself, a police officer, that is like being God. He knows those men deserve to die. He knows better than anyone else. He has the power within himself to play God, to take life, to bring death. This is being the gods. Deity breaks us. It breaks us. It breaks the world. So the question is there a prophylaxis? Is there a vaccine that can inoculate us against these pre-existing conditions so that they don't rear their ugly head and overwhelm us? And I would argue that there is. And this is why we're coming back to the passage that Reverend Bethany used last week, back to the Philippians passage. Because the vaccine is to get injected with the mind of Christ. The vaccine is to be injected with the mind of Christ. Because if we have the mind of Christ, suddenly our lives are transformed in ways that help to prevent these pre-existing conditions from coming. Now, like every vaccine, there is no 100% cure. But let's quickly look at this. So if we go to verse 6 in Philippians 2. Sorry, actually in verse 5. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Inject yourself with the mind of Christ, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. It is what Paul says in verse 3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility. The mind of Christ is humble. And what humility does is it helps to inoculate us from deity. Because when we see others as better than ourselves, when we see others as worthwhile, when in humility we understand that we are not perfect, we don't always have it right, though we would like to, that humility prevents us from looking down on others and seeing them as the others. But then Paul continues in verse 7, but Jesus emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. We deal with desire by serving. Because desire is all about me getting what I want. I have to have it. I have to get it. Let me have it. But serving is, Let me give to another what they need, what they want, what they have to have. It flips the script. And suddenly, in serving, our needs are not as great as we thought they were. And finally, and Jesus humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross, and that is sacrifice. Because when we sacrifice ourselves for others, suddenly that dissatisfaction no longer seems all that important. Getting that one thing doesn't really matter. That if we are in a grocery store or a restaurant and things are not going well, instead of being dissatisfied, we sacrificially offer up our love, our thanks to those who are serving us. Suddenly everything changes. So it's the mind of Christ. It's the mind of Christ that allows us to make this world a healing place rather than a breaking place. A place where we're healed, others are healed, relationships are healed, our world is healed. And so that's my challenge to you on this Sunday for this week, is to ask yourself, how am I injecting myself with the mind of Christ so that I can help heal and not break this world? Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you offer to us just your amazing love and grace. Help us to take a hold of the mind of your Son and let it live within us, that we might indeed be healers. We pray this in Christ's name.